Right now, it is time for us to join our good friends at the BerkshireEdge.com. It is a weekly segment that we get together, and we touch on just some of the stories that you'll find at the BerkshireEdge.com, which really supplies you with news and information and a calendar of coming events for the South County area and surrounding areas like no one else can. And we welcome in once again Marcy and David. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Marcy will be here shortly. She's getting her coffee.
Coffee?
Coffee. You know what coffee is? You know?
Yeah.
So here she comes.
We all need... See, I don't drink coffee in the morning because once I start drinking coffee, I have two or three cups and it just...
Good morning.
How's your coffee?
Oh, it's hot.
That's the best way to have it. All right.
So you were saying what happens to you when you drink coffee?
One cup isn't enough and I'll go to another cup and then and then the rest of the day... I'm just like a strung out. It's crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I only drink decaf.
Yeah. Well, even with decaf, because decaf, even though it's decaffeinated, it has just a little bit of caffeine in it. But caffeine, like if I drink Coca-Cola, it's the same way.
Yeah.
The caffeine in the Coca-Cola just drives
me. Yeah, Coca-Cola. Yeah, I know. Coca-Cola has caffeine.
It's always been a pump-up thing. Well, let's get to some of the stories here.
Okay.
All right. Now, this is a story that I once again found at the BerkshireEdge.com, redevelopment of the Eagle Mill in Lee. We've talked about that before, but that is finally getting underway now.
It's finally getting underway.
They had groundbreaking.
They had a groundbreaking, and they found a Jeff Cohen, who is the developer of this, what was a kind of derelict complex. Is now getting underway to reimagine it and restore it as a residential and commercial proper complex. That's what he's going to be. It's a retail center as well, which they're hoping it's in Lee, and they're hoping that it will revitalize the town of Lee itself. So it's a huge project.
And he's been working on it for years.
Is it going to be one of those projects that's done in stages, or is he just going to try to get it all done at once and just open it up all at once?
Well, I think he's doing it all at once. I mean, but it's going to be apartments and stores. I mean, he's actually scaled it down. It was supposed to have a sort of like the Faneuil Hall in Boston. It was going to have a big market hall, but you know, the COVID came, and I guess you know he got delayed, and he's had to scale it down. But it's going to be transformative for the town of Lee.
Yeah,
I mean it's going to be new apartments. Shopping, it's going to be very exciting.
Now, in Massachusetts, when somebody puts up a project like this and they have new apartments, do they have to supply a certain amount of affordable apartments, or does not that?
I think they are. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
They are, and because they've gotten lots of tax credits too.
Well, that's always on the upside when that happens.
Yeah, right.
It's not the total answer, but you know what? It's a small step to it. And
we've all been very excited about it.
Yeah.
It's an old downtown mill complex, and it's going to be turned into a housing and retail center. And they the hope is that it's going to revitalize the town of Lee.
Well, it's an example. There are other places in Berkshire County, in South Berkshire County, like in Housatonic, for example, which is a little village in the town of Great Barrington, which also has a derelict mill complex that people have talked about redeveloping from time to time.
And
Jeff Cohen is really doing it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in Connecticut, there have been, over in Torrington area, there have been factories, ball-bearing factories and stuff that were, they have been converted into residential units. But what an interesting thing that happens in Winston, Connecticut, is the Whiting Mill, the one of the factories was taken over, and it's going to have a huge art display on workers. It's going to bring people into town. It's going to bring people into Northwest Connecticut because of it's such a great, great project. So there's a lot that can be done with these buildings that here in the Northeast do litter the landscape.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, prior to this project, I mean, the one notable project in Berkshire County is in North Adams, where Mass Mocha has become a world famous art complex, which we took an old mill there and completely rehabbed it and into a really world famous art museum.
And they have continued.
And it has revitalized the town.
And it's revitalized the town.
They've also updated it and done additions over the years.
Oh, yeah.
That's
added
right.
Things of music, art. I mean, it is a complete art center.
And oh, it's fabulous.
It's really one of a kind within, I think, like a 100-mile radius, really. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Well, it's one of a kind within
Well, it's like
country.
Dia, you know, down in.
But Dia isn't nearly as successful as Mass Mocha. I mean, Mass Mocha, you know, they started out with no collection of their own, and they have they've been so imaginative. You know, they have artist residencies, and people are creating art right at Mass Mocha. It's very dynamic and exciting, and they have terrific concerts. And so we're hoping that I mean, this is not the same thing in Lee, but. You know, everyone's very excited to see how this is going to come out.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Groundbreaking.
It's interesting because right down in Dover, there was a big old unused grain mill with huge tower and everything, and that was taken over by our association and has totally changed what was a deteriorating, ugly building into something that is spectacular. And every year they have, and every summer, they have a festival, and the train come from New York comes right by there, thousands and thousands of young people come. They have artists in residence. So, you know, the reuse of these old buildings, these mills and these complexes is really quite an amazing thing.
You know, in the magazine section online on the Berkshire Edge, we have a couple of really terrific articles by an architectural historian about complexes in Williamstown and in North Adams that have been turned into housing. These old original mills with great spaces have been turned into housing. We did a whole tour of them on our site. So if someone's interested in this kind of architectural history, I mean, we have a lot of it on the Edge, and especially, you know, come to the Edge and go to the magazine section, you'll find articles. It's very exciting. And, you know, and there's the town of Housatonic, which is a village the village of Housatonic within the town of Great Barrington, has a big complex of mills right on the Housatonic that are falling apart. And I know David's had his eye on this for years, because somebody about 10 years ago tried to proposed renovating and making them into artist lofts, and the man who owns them is just sitting on them, letting them fall apart. He won't do anything. He claims he has a plan, but he's never done anything. And so I don't know. You know, it's too bad, because this is an opportunity that's being wasted.
Yep. I want to move north of Great Barrington for your next story to Pittsfield and what is going on in Pittsfield.
Well, there is this, you know, this is the 61st anniversary of Ruby Bridges, who integrated a school. Where was it? It's a very famous Norman Rockwell
painting.
She attended the all-white elementary school in New Orleans.
In New Orleans,
remember Rockwell's famous 1964 painting called The Problem We All Live With. It shows poor Ruby Bridges, you know, trying to walk into the school, and they're throwing tomatoes at her. The tomatoes, the sign of Rotten Tomatoes is on the wall behind her. Pops Peterson, who is a local artist, has done a version of Ruby's walk to school on a building in Pittsfield, and he's done it in multicolor. He's calling her Rainbow Ruby Bridges. It's an important celebration of Ruby Bridges and her. And it's in Pittsfield. Where is it? What building is it on, David?
It's on the west side. It's in the neighborhood called Jubilee Hill.
And actually, we have directions to the mural the site. Right. So it's beautiful. It's worth seeing.
Yeah. Well, it's commemorating a really a turning point, hopefully, in our history.
Well, it's funny because Pittsfield is one of those towns has really turned itself around and recovered from when they were left high and dry by a major corporation many years ago.
Yes, that major corporation was General Electric.
General Electric, who left basically the Housatonic River Basin high and dry.
But they didn't leave it. They left it contaminated.
Contaminated. Yeah, it's. But I remember Pittsfield from that. I worked in Pittsfield for the first year of my full-time radio broadcasting career.
Uh-huh.
And it was when Pittsfield was really at the lowest point. But it was still a great town. I loved being in Pittsfield. I had a car, but I could walk to the radio station and back and walk wherever I wanted to go in that town. So
yeah.
It used to be when GE was, you know, had its many thousands of workers. It was a bustling town. I mean, it was busy, and but it was also contaminated.
Yeah,
yeah, it was terribly contaminated.
Yeah.
But the next story is an interesting story because it affects so many different people, and that is Berkshire Community College. They're now hosting a workshop on challenges that veterans face when they come home from combat.
Yeah, and it's today.
Yeah.
It takes place today from 3:30 to 5:30. Is it Zoom? Is it live or is it Zoom? I can't remember. It's an online workshop, a free online workshop, and it's today. And it is exploring the problems that veterans face when they return home. Now, we've been watching over the last few weeks, we've been watching a TV series on PBS about veterans. Fascinating. I think we're all completely unaware of how difficult the transition is for veterans, even if they're not wounded, to come back into civilian life. And so this is really exciting that Berkshire Community College is presenting this workshop, and hopefully there'll be one of many they'll be holding. I mean, but it is today, and if anybody is interested, it's online, and you can find out more about it on the Edge in an article.
And there's
a link. Article titled "Veterans to Join Health Students for November workshops on moral injury."
What's interesting about this is my son Jake had two tours of duty in Iraq. He actually became a captain, was promoted to captain in Iraq. And when he decided to leave at the end of his time, he could not just come directly home. There was a debugging session that lasted, I think, about 2.5 to 3 weeks. And so the armed forces try to ease the entry back into society. But, of course, nothing can work in 2.5 to 3 weeks when you've got – and the thing you've got most of these people that are coming back, these armed forces members, they're young. They really haven't had a chance to be out in life in regular. They've been in the military. They've been in a war zone. And it takes more than 2.5 to 3 weeks to settle back in safely into society.
Well, and also they talk about the fact that, you know, all their lives they feel a kind of connection with other military people that, you know, that they don't find anywhere else in their life. It's not just that it's something to be gotten rid of so that you can readjust, but it's something that they value. This is what we've learned from this television series, that they don't necessarily want to lose the connection with the military. It's a bond that's very special.
Oh, no, Jake does not lose that bond at all, but he has come back. And when he first enlisted out of school, he was in ROTC in college, and when he went away, his grandfather was worried that by the time he came back into the workforce, there wouldn't be much there. But quite to the contrary, he has a terrific job that he is a headhunter for veterans. He finds jobs for veterans that are coming back. He's very successful at it. It keeps him bonded with the military.
Right.
He's bonded with his friends. And it's one of those things that really worked out extremely well for him. And there's other stories out there like that, just like there are stories of some veterans who get lost in the mix coming back.
Yeah, many. Right, yeah. And the suicide rate is terrible.
Yeah, it's a topic that ranges from A to Z, really. It all depends who comes back and what they come back to. I see the name Dr. Rich Kesson here.
He lives in your neighborhood.
Yeah, he lives down in Lakeville.
Yeah.
How about that?
And this is interesting because he's got a prediction on how COVID-19 will end with vaccinations, not treatments. It's an interesting story.
Yeah, well, he writes for us regularly. He's an old friend of mine, and he lives in Lakeville now. He's retired. He was a very prominent scientist at Columbia University.
Yeah.
So he's a retired professor from Columbia, a professor of pathology and cell biology. And he's been writing to us about the pandemic for the last year and a half. But he is, what he is saying is that his prediction is that COVID-19 will recede in areas of high vaccination. Treatments may have a role, but vaccination is the primary player here. For everybody who, we are all concerned that so many people are not getting vaccinations, and he thinks there'll be more variants. We have the Delta variant, but he thinks there'll be more, and the only way to fight against them is to be vaccinated. So,
and now with Pfizer coming out with the pill that if you do come down with COVID, it's not a cure for it, but once again, it's a treatment that, in addition to the vaccinations,
helps, it mitigates them.
It helps you survive it, and eventually, between vaccinations and this, it really will be people who are unvaccinated and who have health problems on top of that. That really, and I don't know if you're ever going to convince those people ever to do anything. Take a pill or take a vaccination,
right.
But eventually we will get to that point. I think he's absolutely right there. I mean,
well, and he says, in areas where the vaccination rate is low, at let's say 40%, he said there are going to continue to be serious problems with high levels of infection and overwhelmed medical facilities for extended periods. That the patient and of course. This patient load affects the hospital's ability to treat other diseases. So that means that the poor and the medically underserved are going to get even less attention, and schools, industry, and the economy will continue to be weakened in circumstances like that. So the you know, the treatments may be good, but, you know, you still have to treat them. I mean, it takes resources to treat people, whereas if they'd had vaccinations, the number of people who need to be treated would be greatly diminished.
Well, we've had
Well, think about how polio used to be such a plague.
Right. Now it's not.
We've had two outbreaks here locally. One, of course, made national news a week and a half after it was reported, and that is at Geer Nursing and Rehab Center, where a total of 89 breakthrough cases came up, where I think 8 or 9 people, maybe 10 people, died. And also in Region 1, over Halloween, there was what appears to be a Halloween party that was held. And now you have 5th in Cornwall Consolidated School. The 5th, 6th, and 7th grades are all learned at home for the next 10 days simply to stop the spread. I mean, this is something that's going to pop up everywhere and be with us for quite a while. It really is.
Yeah. I wanted again, I mean, it's a terrible drain on resources when people don't get vaccinated.
And it's puzzling, you know, because I remember as a kid, my parents were so delighted to have a polio vaccine, you know, and you know, would always make sure that they were totally confident in the vaccinations for various diseases that we all got.
Yeah, we didn't have the level of mistrust.
Yeah. Well, it's here to stay now. It's here to stay now, unfortunately. Next story I want to go on to, tax the rich. Tax the rich.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is, I'm sorry, I'm going to rush in on this one because I have been working with Sheila Clary on this. But one of our writers, Sheila Clary, has been in touch with a very interesting organization called Patriotic Millionaires. And this is an organization of some of America's richest citizens. They are, wealthy people, their advisors, and other investors who have realized that, you know, whatever their political position is, that the economic inequality in this country is very destabilizing. And it's going to, you know, be very dangerous for the country if it continues. So these people are working to try to, change the tax system, the tax structure, and they're also so that wealthy people pay their fair share. And they're also, you know, concerned about making sure that people who work can earn a living wage, so they're looking at employment laws, and they're also looking at campaign finance laws to make sure that people have, you know, that there isn't so much money in politics that it distorts fair representation of people. So they have also written a book called Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. And we are going to have a webinar with the founder and the president of Patriotic Millionaires. And we actually have to change the date on this story because one of the people was invited to have dinner with Nancy Pelosi on the night that we were originally going to have it on November 18th, and now we've moved it. We could understand that Nancy Pelosi came before us, so we've now moved this, and we need to change this right now to Wednesday, October 1st.
All right. Well, we're out of time, and because it's hard to believe.
This is only for Edge members.
Okay, only for Edge
members. We need to be a supporter of the Edge in order to please people join the Edge and come to this seminar.
All right, we have about 30 seconds, and let's talk very quickly about the Getty gas station on Main Street in Great Barrington going to become a pot shop.
No, it's not going to become a pot shop. That's a mistake. It's being renovated. By the pot shop across
it's being
the street
renovated
to make
by
the neighborhood better.
Right.
Sorry.
It's a pot shop economic development project.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a pot shop.
Taking pot money and reinvigorating the neighborhood.
But it is a very unsightly thing, and the pot shop across the street is helping to improve the neighborhood.
All right. Well, you see, marijuana can do some good. There you go. Okay. All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Have a good week.
And our magazine is out, the November issue of Berkshire's Calendar. So look for that. It's full of information about the next few months.
All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air here at Robin Hood Radio. TheBerkshireEdge.com is where you find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.